And turn to Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. We left off last week with verse 30. After the congregation there at Jerusalem have completed this letter that they have written to give to and to send to the Gentiles in Antioch. However, this is actually going to be for the Gentiles everywhere, and Paul and what's it going to end up being Silas instead of Barnabas, which is chronicled here at the last part of this chapter, are going to be taking this letter around to all of these congregations, which are mostly Gentile congregations. But even the Jewish Christians need to read this letter to know that there is not going to be any binding of circumcision or any part of the law of Moses on these Gentiles. And so that's what this letter chronicles and explains, and except just the four things. There were issues, however, even though they were not going to bind circumcision or any part of the law of Moses on these Gentiles, there were issues. And so there were four major problems and things that the Gentiles needed to know about to correct and to not stay in any longer or stay out of. Those that had hopefully they come out of it, and this is a warning, more of a gentle warning, for them not to go back into and stay away from these things. And as the letter ended up, if you keep yourselves from these four things, which was abstain from things offered to idols, abstain from blood, abstain from things that are strangled, and from sexual immorality. And if you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Okay. So, and then Paul and Silas are going to take this letter, and I'm assuming then Barnabas and John Mark are going to take this letter also to Cyprus. We just don't get any have any record of anything that they did except that they went to Cyprus and evangelized to them. But since they Luke chronicles Paul's journeys, we hear nothing more about Barnabas after this chapter from here. Now, Paul mentions Barnabas in the future in other letters, or maybe only once, and then John Mark mentions him. So they become friendly again and reunite as far as Paul talks highly of both of these, Barnabas and John Mark, in subsequent letters, but they do have a falling out right here that we'll get to here in a little bit. But verse 30 of Acts 15, so when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And now they are Paul and Barnabas, and now they have sent, the congregation has sent in addition, Judas and Silas. And as we went over last week, and what's going to be mentioned here in verse 32, is both Judas and Silas are prophets. And we've not heard, this is the first we ever hear about Silas. Now, he's going to become a partner here with Paul, and they're going to be going on the second and third missionary journeys together. Now, Judas, we've never heard of before, and we never hear about him again after this verse. Is the last of his mentioning, and he's about to go back to Jerusalem. We never hear about him anymore. But his name was Judas Barsabbas, and it is thought, as we went over last week, that he is the brother of Joseph Barsabbas from Acts chapter 1, who was an eligible candidate to be a replacement for Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, since he betrayed the Messiah, he was no longer eligible to be an apostle. And so they, and then of course, even after that, he committed suicide. But because he betrayed the Lord, they were going to have to replace him. And so it is thought that Judas Barsabbas' brother is who this Joseph Barsabbas, and he was an eligible candidate, a fully qualified candidate, along with this other man, Matthias. Matthias is the one that got chosen. They only had one position. If they had two, the inference is that they would have both been chosen. And it's also an inference and a necessary inference that there were only two eligible candidates out of this group of 120 to be an apostle. Only two met the qualifications to be an apostle. And Matthias was chosen and not Joseph Barsabbas. But here we have a Judas Barsabbas, and they are thought to be brothers. And this Judas is a prophet, as we're about to find out a few verses down. But we never hear of this Judas, and we never heard any more about the Joseph Barsabbas after Acts 1 either. Completing here with verse 30, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they received, they rejoiced over its encouragement. And Kaufman said, the disciples wasted no time in getting the letter to the brethren in Antioch. The congregation was gathered and the letter read. The liberation of the New Testament had been established and the yoke of the Old Testament was removed. It was indeed an occasion worthy of great rejoicing and celebration. The Holy Spirit had prevailed over one of the most serious threats ever encountered by members of the Lord's body. So Kaufman said that, you know, this was one of the most serious threats that members of the Lord's body had ever encountered. So this was very serious. And but due to Paul's strong teaching and forcefulness, and then, of course, the Holy Spirit having and affirming these four things, then this situation got tamped down, and this good letter that has good explanations and good teaching that the Gentiles did need came to fruition. Verses 32 to 35. Now, Judas and Silas themselves being prophets also, this is where we find out that they're both prophets. God is directly speaking messages to them to teach people with, and putting words in their mouth as they are teaching people. Exhorted and strengthening the brethren with many words, and after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there with Paul and Barnabas. So he's remaining in Antioch. You know, this is a 300-mile journey, as we mentioned here some time back. And so they traveled up here, and now this Judas Barsabbas is going to go back by himself to Jerusalem. But Silas, he likes being there with Paul and Barnabas and here with these Gentile Christians, mostly, at Antioch. And he wants to stay and obviously be here with Paul and with his evangelistic efforts. And he saw, obviously, he saw a lot better opportunity to be here with Paul in Antioch and whatever future endeavors Paul will end up doing instead of just going back to Jerusalem. And what ends up being what we find out in Acts 18. In 19, there's just a bunch of turmoil going on in Jerusalem. So so maybe that also, Silas wanted to avoid that, but he wanted to be with Paul and his evangelistic efforts. Kaufman said, after serving the purpose for which they had come, Silas and Judas were dismissed to return back to Jerusalem. Silas chose to remain in Antioch, where he would soon embark upon another adventure as Paul's new traveling companion. The field at Antioch was still white unto harvest, and Paul wasted no time. He was busy teaching and preaching. If a distinction might be shown between teaching and preaching, it can be that teaching is a more informal instructing of the Word of God, perhaps privately, while preaching is a more formal proclaiming of the good news of God's kingdom in a public setting. Verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." This is all recalling and wanting to revisit the congregations that they had gone to in the first missionary journey. Those that were here in the South Galatian region of Asia Minor, not talking about revisiting Cyprus. Now, Barnabas and John Mark end up going back to the Cyprus island here, so they cover that. But anyway, so Paul and what's going to end up being Silas will revisit all of these congregations that they had started with and taught in the first missionary journey. And Kaufman said, after an indefinite time of preaching and building up the brethren in Antioch, the evangelistic fire was again kindled in Paul. He was very diligent to keep on teaching the Christians in order to prevent discouragement and defection. It would appear that he had every intention of making the missionary journey with Barnabas until Barnabas insisted on taking his nephew John Mark. Okay, verses 37 through 39. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. And this is the author of the book of Mark, is who this is, but he's still young at this time. He would write this some years later, a decade, 15 years later, something like that. But Paul insisted that they should not take him with them, the one who departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they departed from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. That was Barnabas and John Mark's hometown, home island. This is where they grew up, John Mark's mother owned a house here in Cyprus. She also owned a house here in Jerusalem. But so they went back to their home region and to leave now what will be Paul and Silas to go on the start this second missionary journey starting through Asia Minor. And Kaufman said, we will remember that this was the young man who had defected from the first journey at Perga in Pamphylia, as recorded in Acts 13:13. Barnabas was determined to give his nephew a second chance. It is likely that Barnabas could see justifiable reasons for the action of desertion by his nephew because of his kinship, but Paul only saw the departure of John Mark from the Lord's work as an action for which he had no sympathy. This heated disagreement separated Paul from his longtime friend and companion, Barnabas. There are two things that should be noted in order to gather up all the loose ends in this conflict between Paul and Barnabas. This disagreement did not produce a permanent rift between Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. Mark was later restored to Paul's confidence, and Paul referred to him as useful to me for ministry. Also, Barnabas was later commended by Paul. Strong men with minds strongly made up often find disagreements between them. And the one redeeming note in this otherwise unhappy and regrettable episode is that neither side of the dispute permitted it to hinder the work of God. Rather, there was a beneficial result in that there were then two teams of missionaries instead of only one. So, Kaufman, the two points that Kaufman said that we need to realize and understand that came out and that was the result of this disagreement, that all three did not stay at odds with each other. They all came back and were friendly with each other. And Paul would later write that John Mark was useful to him for his ministry. And then Paul even commended Barnabas in the future. So everything got smoothed over in the future. So that's one of the things that we all need to realize. And then the second thing, that neither side allowed this disagreement to hinder the evangelistic work of God's kingdom. And in fact, now they were covering twice the territory that they had before. So that was even a benefit unfortunate disagreement, but it wasn't all negative. That was a definite benefit, covering twice the territory that they otherwise would have covered. And so those two main points, Kaufman says, is important for us to understand. Then, it was only natural that Barnabas would prefer the journey to his native Cyprus. However, in the wisdom of God, no record has come down to us since the evangelist Luke followed the labors of Paul instead of Barnabas. However, it must be presumed that much good was also done by Barnabas and Mark. This is the last time we hear of Barnabas or John Mark in the book of Acts, since their names are not mentioned again by Luke. And now the last two verses. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so, as we mentioned last week, Syria is this region here that contained Antioch. So as they went through on their way here to Asia Minor in this South Galatian region, as they completed going through Syria, they stopped by congregations here on their way. Then they went through the province, the area of Cilicia, which included Tarsus, and maybe this was more of a capital. This was a major city of Cilicia. It was Tarsus, Paul's hometown. And so they visited congregations as they went through Cilicia on their way first to Derbe. That'll be the first congregation that they visit in this second missionary journey of a revisit of who they had evangelized in the first missionary journey. The difference is, on the first missionary journey, they went from west to east, and Derbe was the last congregation that they initially visited. Whereas here on the second missionary journey, they're starting east, going west, and so Derby's going to be the first congregation that they get to on the second missionary journey. And Kaufman said, both Syria and Cilicia lay between Antioch and the South Galatian congregations, which Paul headed toward. But he worked diligently, strengthening the congregations in those provinces also. And so now Kaufman closes with this last paragraph. What a dramatic chapter this is. A major division over the attempt to bind circumcision upon the Gentile Christians was avoided primarily because of the strong leadership of the determined Apostle Paul. The disciples who had sympathized with those of the circumcision, including Peter, were corrected and again on the right track. The disagreement between Paul and Barnabas over the defector John Mark was decided, and Paul's second missionary effort was begun with Silas as his new companion. And we will end there, and Lord willing, we will start with chapter 16 next week.